Do you find that in the current culture that we find ourselves in, do you feel a burden in any way that you have to allow this, you have to like speak for a group of people, you have to be the spokesperson, or are you thinking, you know, the work is enough and it allows people in, just like what we were talking about, it allows the space. I'm just wondering if people, you know, who see their work as political are finding like an extra pressure to be even more so, given where we are right now.
My answer to that would be, as an artist, I don't feel increasing pressure to change the way that I'm working, because a while ago I did used to feel the pressure of, you know, I can't speak for all Native people, I can't speak for all gay Native people. But somewhere along the line, I removed myself from people asking me those questions. I moved out of the city, you know, which was a big move. And now I really don't feel that pressure. I feel more, for me, my work is very much about personal growth and the responsibility of sharing the result of that personal growth with the world in a place where I think it's really, it's kind of giving a model. I mean, I know my experience of living in the city and struggling to be an artist, I always felt like I was lacking a model, you know? And so my options were perform the model that's presented to you that you disagree with, or give up. And I went in search of models in 2011, 12, and some of those were traditional Native people making things for their communities. Some of those people were business people. Some of those people were other artists. And so that's where it's at for me. On the other hand, I would say, I think all of us have a responsibility to think about everything we're doing right now, and what it means financially, how it impacts the economy, who are we supporting with every dollar we spend. I think the days of choosing our comfort over a critical and thoughtful decision need to be in the past. You know, most of the communities that I am engaged in are people who have chosen to construct a pacifist life where they think thoughtfully, they move through the world a little bit slower. We've crafted those communities, and here we are being called upon to aggressively push back. And I think most of us don't want to do that. So how do we do that? How do we form things? But I think what I do as an artist functions well for artwork. I think there's other things. If I wanted to protest, if I want to perform an activism, my choices that probably won't happen in the gallery. I mean, I'm very much drawn to art that is not reactionary. I'm also very much drawn to, and not to say that I wouldn't make some reactionary pieces or statements, but I also think that just the way that a painting unfolds itself to you, the way that it reveals itself, the way that color can work on you, it can't compare to a movie or a television show or something on a computer screen. It is a physical sensory experience that if you're really gonna engage with a painting, you have to meet the painting on that level. Otherwise, it's just not going to reveal itself to you. So I do understand that. And I think that it's something that, unfortunately, I think a lot of people don't value that experience because they're looking for the immediate impact.
I was going to say, they don't have time.
Yeah.
They don't give it time to sit. Like, we've been standing here, and I've been kind of watching this painting over here as we've been talking. I've been listening to you and kind of just keep looking over and kind of letting those colors come at me.
Right.
And they're
right.
Gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you, since you haven't been in the show, the title of this painting is Raven. And, you know, there are many creation stories and indigenous stories that involve the raven. But for me, I was really just thinking about what you see when you look at the color black. And so these, a lot of the works, so this is Raven. This one there is Horizon, which I think is somewhat evident. Mm-hmm. And then on the right on the back wall there is titled Firestorm, which is really an homage to a painter, Native American painter from the 40s and 50s named Oscar Howe. And he would paint flora, fauna, water, fire in these kind of fractal geometries. And that's a period of painting which still hasn't been embraced by American modern painting. But it's in my knowledge register, you know, and so I wanted to think about fire the way he would paint. And the painting on the left is titled Upstream, and originally it was all shades of this bluish colors. I use a lot of glazing. And then I decided I wanted to break up the composition into these larger triangles. And upstream, of course, for me is thinking about in the Northwest Coast, I have friends who fish and the salmon and how important that notion of direction, counter direction is important. So with the abstract paintings, especially the ones on the canvas, I'm really, I'm very interested in forming a language where formal choices, shape and color, can begin to be named with meaning. They can begin to be named very much like what's happening in the Parfleche bags, which are also included from the Hagerty Museum collection. And this piece here, the diptych, is one of the only, well, it's the only painting in the exhibition that's on rawhide. And this painting is about my relationship with my husband. It's titled Thinking of You. And it is very much when he's Norwegian, grew up in the fjords, and when I first went to the fjords to see where he grew up, suddenly he made sense. The landscape made him make sense. And so I imagine that my perspective is sitting here, and then of course it goes out, and then of course there is sort of red sky at different times when we were there. So again, it's like, how do we take abstraction? And American modernist geometric abstraction, oftentimes people did not want content to be talked about in their work. Where me, on the other hand, I want to say, no, there is always content in work.
And in the diptych here, they're mirror images.
They're mirror images, yeah.
Yeah. And so you get that idea as well, that there's the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're both there.
We're both there. And then what I loved about the hide was that this dark space here is actually in the hide.
It's part of
There's no ubiquitous canvas here that you buy by the roll, and it didn't matter which one was which. You know, there's two animals that you're looking at here as well.
Going back to the title of mm-hmm. the exhibition, look how far we've come. How far have we come? And where do we need to go?
I suppose, how far have we come? I don't even know, you know? I know that it's almost like at this moment that there's a lot of words that have come up in conversations I've had recently. Some of them are what I expressed before about this kind of aggressiveness that I certainly worked very hard to get out of my body. And I think I have gotten used to a certain level of instability in my life, a certain way of placing instability, fear, all of that has shifted. I don't even know how to determine stability and instability at this point. Being an Indigenous person of this land, I don't want to leave this land. I have the opportunity, I could, but I don't. And that's one of the reasons I've always been drawn to people like Josephine Baker and Nina Simone and James Baldwin and people who found artistic freedom elsewhere. I think we're a little bit in a kind of, you know, like the tape that's just like stuck and making sound for a minute while we're kind of figuring out. But I have to say, in the last week, with the numbers of people who are speaking up, with there being some political support of those numbers of people, with people understanding that how they spend their money has real impact, there is a murmuring of optimism amongst where we're at. So how far we've come. We have formed communities that truly are diverse and not in the name of diversity. We have communities that are pushing back and fighting and organizing and thinking and planning. So we've achieved a lot. We've achieved a lot. And the other thing I was saying this morning was, we don't know how this is gonna turn out. We could be in a place radically more positive in 10 years from now. And then those words, look how far we've come, will show this as a struggle that made us stronger. So you don't really know. I don't really know. In terms of what we need, I think just to remain in communication with each other, to share information, to unite and collect and use the best of, you know, this is a push and pull where there are certain things that will have real impact, especially with us being a capitalist and consumer society. I think when it comes to how money is spent, how it's supported, I want to believe that, let's say, for instance, with in terms of abortion rights, that there are people, regardless of what is decided at the White House level, will find ways to continue to provide safe health care for people. And I right now, I do believe that that would happen. I think we have immigrants in powerful positions. We have people of color in powerful positions. I think it's time for us all to take a stand in whichever way we can.
And make art.
I do actually think, you know, it's interesting because I know it is that notion about what does art do in the face of something like this? And, you know, when I look back at like the artists who were working, let's say in the late 80s and early 90s, especially during the AIDS crisis, feminist artists, it's really interesting to think about the works that continued to have resonance from that period. I'm not sure, had I lived through those moments, those are the works I would have thought really encapsulated what was happening. And I was alive during the AIDS crisis, but I was really too young to really be a part of it. And I think, you know, I think about when the exhibition WAC, Art and the Feminist Revolution, you know, that exhibition was like, it really like hits you over the head that there are always intelligent people offering intelligent, doable solutions. And we should all listen. There is a value to culture. There is a value to art. And, you know, maybe the best way to understand the value of it is imagine the past had we not had it. Imagine where we'd be if we didn't have arts and culture.